Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour intergalactic swag party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tahoe to Tallahassee, Kalamazoo and Waterloo are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we, everybody? Hopefully you had a wonderful weekend. Hopefully you had a chance to celebrate a happy Father's Day. Coming up this morning on the show, we'll talk NBA draft, a potential top five, perhaps top three pick in the NBA draft, which is Thursday night. Michael Porter Jr., who had a star-crossed season this past year at Mizzou. Michael Porter Jr. is certainly a lottery pick, and who knows how high he could go. We'll talk to him coming up 2 hours from now at the top of the third hour of the show. So that should be very interesting. Coming up this morning, in about 16 minutes, should Lefty have been DQ'd on Saturday at Shinnecock at the U.S. Open? Coming up in 35 minutes, when will we stop laughing at LeVar? Because I know that a lot of guys in my industry find him entertaining, find him to be a good soundbite. To me, he's offensive and gross, especially after his last comments about his wife's stroke. I will discuss coming up here at 40 minutes past the hour. We'll talk about Tom Brady's candid interview comments with Oprah Winfrey about what's going on in Foxborough and his future. We've got Messi gagging, just like Argentina does yet again in the World Cup. And Michael Jackson's elephant escapes from a zoo. Of course, we're going to talk about that. As always, you can get at me on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And the simulcast is cooking right now at watchda.com. It's in sparkling high definition, so check it out in Technicolor right now at watchda.com.
Electronically ignorant.
We begin with the summer of LeBron, where the summer of LeBron has turned into the summer of, well, who else is out there? Paul George will find a destination. LeBron will find a destination. And perhaps Kawhi Leonard will find a different destination. Because what happened and broke on Friday after we were off the air was a report that Kawhi Leonard has informed the Spurs that he wants to become a member of the Lakers. Now, the Spurs don't have to trade him to Los Angeles. They're under no pressure to have to do so. And the Spurs are one of the most stable, smart organizations in all of our professional sports here in North America, so they're not going to be held at gunpoint by one of their players. Not how it works over there. But remember, in the NBA, players oftentimes call their own shot. The same way Kyrie Irving told the Cavs, I don't want to be here. And they had to trade him. So will the same thing happen this offseason? An interesting team has jumped into the Kawhi sweepstakes. The Cavaliers have made a call. So number one, would this be to entice LeBron to stay? Number two, would LeBron and Kawhi on the same team in Cleveland bring the Cavs back to championship capability? Or number three, is this a replacement option for LeBron if and when he leaves? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Spurs are a very controlling organization. Most organizations want to be in control of their players' injuries and medical information. They want to know exactly what the injury is. And at some point, Kawhi distanced himself, hired his own team of trainers and medical doctors. Of course, this was a big deal last year when he basically abandoned the team to go off on his own for training and for medical care, and the relationship just got strained.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Don Harris, Spurs reporter on CBS Sports HQ, obviously discussing Kawhi and the Spurs being at odds. So here's the first part. I think the Spurs, as I talked about last week, will do everything in their power not to trade Kawhi because you're going to get cents on the dollar. You're just not going to get a player of Kawhi's caliber because there aren't a lot of those guys out there. And Cavaliers' number eight pick isn't equitable to Kawhi Leonard. So I think San Antonio knows if we don't have to trade him, we don't want to trade him. But now the ball is in Kawhi's court because the Spurs will try to love him up, try to get him on the same page as Pop. But if Kawhi says, I'm not playing for you guys, he proved last year, despite being healthy, cleared by the medical staff, he's not going to play. So if you're the Spurs, you're not going to go down that road again this year and have a guy under contract that's not going to play for you, which you would lose at the end of the year in a free agent situation anyway. So Kawhi can make this thing happen. I don't know why Kawhi, though, if he's got his heart looking at Los Angeles, would want to go to Cleveland unless LeBron is there. I think that is the caveat. I mean, maybe Kawhi doesn't care about winning championships. Maybe he's already won one, but a finals MVP, maybe that's not what is directing him. But I'll put it this way. Cleveland's not going to be a really interesting place to be if LeBron isn't there. As you saw, LeBron, not of this Cavaliers team, and they've got salary cap problems. They don't have that number eight pick. Is not guaranteed to be a star or a stud. It's too late in the lottery to guarantee anything like that. Obviously, the draft is a crapshoot anyway. So once LeBron leaves, or if LeBron leaves, that doesn't make the Cavaliers an interesting destination for Kawhi Leonard. Especially Kawhi, with California roots, might just say, I want to go back home. I want to play in Los Angeles, or I want to play in California. You make that happen, I'll be happy. That's the only place I want to go. Maybe that's just going to be the hand that he demands to be played. But if the Cavaliers pull this one off, then it is hope that LeBron would stay, because I think, all things considered, if you give LeBron championship caliber surrounding cast, a chance to win a title, and he doesn't have to be the everything guy like he was this year, yeah, I think LeBron would want to stay in Cleveland. I think there is part of him that goes, this is the proper legacy for me. I think he cares a lot about that. I think he cares a lot about how he'll be remembered, what his impact was beyond basketball, about being seen as the good guy that came home after being the bad guy that left. Yeah, I think he cares about that. But he's not going to give Dan Gilbert a hometown discount because he doesn't like Dan Gilbert, and he doesn't want to sign up for that again. his frustration with playing with those guys, even though those guys are the guys that he helped pick, was overwhelming during the playoffs, regular season, NBA finals. He's not opting back in unless there's serious help. But that doesn't mean just the number 8 pick in the draft. If the Cavaliers figure out a way to somehow pull off a 3-team trade, which is what it would take, because the Spurs don't want anything, I don't think, that the Cavaliers have. What, Kevin Love, the number 8 pick for Kawhi Leonard? I don't think so. If the Cavs pull that off, it's a huge, huge swing to LeBron staying or leaving. But I don't think it's going to happen. And here's the issue. If Kawhi and LeBron want to go to Los Angeles and Paul George, suddenly the Lakers get really interesting. Not kind of interesting, really interesting. Because LeBron is still LeBron. If Paul George is your third best player on the team, now you're doing something. And Kawhi Leonard, if properly healthy and motivated, is one of the best two-way players, if not the best two-way player in basketball. I don't know what the Lakers would have to give up to acquire Kawhi, and I'm not sure, as I talked about on Friday, that the Spurs would ever willingly trade their star to an arch rival like the Lakers, and then watch the Lakers pound them for the next couple of years. Greg Popovich and company might say, we'll trade him to anybody but the Lakers. I don't know. But if Kawhi stamps his feet and yells loud enough and gets his way to get to Los Angeles and LeBron and Paul George want to go there, then yeah, the Lakers just became a powerhouse. But the Cavaliers making that call to San Antonio is the very least they should do. And if they could somehow pull that one off, then they give themselves hope for LeBron returning. But that's kind of the only hope. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. The weekend that was at the U.S. Open was filled with disaster. Transportation in and around one of the oldest, coolest venues in the country was a nightmare. Traffic, trains, car, parking, mass transit, all a nightmare. The course, the conditions, a nightmare. And then Phil on Saturday, a triple nightmare. We will discuss coming up here next, should Lefty have been DQ'd? And I'm not talking Dairy Queened.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Happy Monday to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us. DA, CBS Sports Radio. You can always watch the show as well at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. So hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow, and watch the show on your phone or your tablet or whatever device you do use on a daily basis. You can do so by going to watchda.com. Also, it's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can hit me up on Twitter, as I mentioned, at DA on CBS. Or go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. What a disaster for Shinnecock over the weekend. As one of the coolest, oldest sites for the U.S. Open, it shouldn't be like that. It was also a gorgeous weekend on Long Island and the greater Northeast. And so when you had conditions that were crazy over the weekend, specifically with wind and other stuff, and the golfers going bonkers with everybody being over par and getting frustrated, and then Shinnecock basically having to apologize and change the course the next day. That's a bad look. That's not what you're looking for.
I am the epic fail.
Transportation. Mraz, this is your neck of the woods, although that's high rent. You are not high rent.
No. I can't afford living by Shinnecock. Close enough, though.
But in your vicinity, around your neighborhood and your general area, it was taking buses that were supposed to go from the media hotel and other destinations within a half hour, 2.5 hours. I had heard that there were supposed to be an 18-minute bus that took over 2 hours to get there.
Well, where they put the main media hotel, not the Fox Hotel, would not have taken you 18 minutes. They really miscalculated and fooled the media. And on side note, when it's a nice weekend like that, and you have beautiful beaches out on the eastern end of Long Island, and you combine that with a golf tournament, it's a stupid mistake to even play the thing there.
Yeah, this is something that they'll always battle. Is that for those that want the geography on this, you've got New York City's metro area and then Long Island jutting out east to west from it. The beaches out there or the Hamptons out there or where the pretty people vacation out there or even when the Mraz people party out there, there's only one way to get out basically. You're going to take the same highway, the Long Island Expressway, to get out there the same way everybody else does. Yes, there's one or two other ways, but basically it's a parking lot from about Friday at 1 o'clock on any decent summer weekend. And it just so happened this was a beautiful summer weekend. So by about lunchtime at Friday, it's a parking lot for the entire duration of Long Island, and Shinnecock is out there.
And would have been a parking lot without the golf tournament.
Right, exactly. They could play that in October, it would have been a parking lot. So it was a twice-baked parking lot. So transportation, the railroad, everything, everybody was just crying foul, miserable, dysfunctional, poorly organized. Okay. Then, with the conditions and the wind, you've got guys shooting all over the place. I mean, Lefty was a nightmare anyway. Barely anybody is under par. For Saturday, everybody's just getting really frustrated on the course, all the golfers. Because it's like you or I hacking on a weekend. Oh, great. +8, +17, +22. This is fun. And then you have Lefty. Then you have Phil Mickelson clearly frustrated because he's having a round to forget. And let's not forget his background. As a runner-up at the U.S. Open, 6 times. 6 gut-wrenching times. Phil Mickelson has come in 2nd at the U.S. Open. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. So he's having a rough go at it yet again. He knows he's out of it because he has had a disaster of a Saturday. And being left with 17 over par for the tournament, you could imagine where his patience level was at. When he putted, the ball was still rolling. It went by the hole. Lefty gets that little trot going on, and before the putt has come to a stop, the ball has rolled to a stop, he hits it again, which is a golf no-no. So, people go crazy. You can't hit the ball. It's still rolling. What are you doing? Phil, you know better than this. You're Phil Mickelson. This should have been a DQ. You've got to tell the officials you should be DQ'd. Have honor. Have credibility. Have respectability. You've got to go turn yourself in and tell them, I need to be disqualified. And he doesn't. He has a long negotiation inside that little cottage clubhouse scoring booth, because that's how it works in golf, comes out and tells the media, yeah, no big deal. I don't know what you're getting all hot and bothered about. I wasn't trying to cheat. I was trying to use the rules to the best of my advantage. I could have let that ball keep rolling, and who knows what would have happened, or I'd take a two-stroke penalty by stopping it. Now, this makes golf people go crazy. That's not the rules! To which case I say this. I like Phil Mickelson a lot. Always have. I always enjoyed how human he has been, how real he has been, much less robotic, much less jerky, much less awful to other people like Tiger was. He was always a very decent, human, real alternative to the cyborg that was Tiger Woods. Some people love cyborgs. Not really my bit. I like humans. So I've always liked Phil. For this, it's a bad look for Phil because Phil was imploding and this was part of his frustration and this is a bad look because it's golf and you're not supposed to do that and that's against the rules and I get it. But man, when golf people melt down about rules violations, I just laugh. I mean, what do you guys expect? You have the players deciding the rules. It's the U.S. freaking Open. You have an official at every World Cup game telling these guys what a penalty is. That's a penalty kick. You can't argue it. Sorry. In the NBA Finals, LeBron doesn't call his own fouls. In the NFL, Tom Brady doesn't go, yeah, that's pass interference. But in golf, there's this etiquette, and you're supposed to do it the right way, and integrity. Man, it's the U.S. Open, it's Phil Mickelson. There should be a guy right there going, you can't do that. That's a DQ. Sorry, you're out of here. You don't get to decide yourself the rules. But in golf, well, we can call in the rules from on your couch. So what do you expect? This is the sport you've created. It's a gentlemanly sport. We decide the rules for ourselves because there's integrity. Well, what? Golfers are now just filled with integrity and NBA players aren't? Man, golfers would try to get away with cheating as well. They just worry about the answers they'll have to give to the media. But Phil Mickelson was in give zero mode. He was frustrated. It was a bad day on the course. It was a bad weekend of the course. And he always gets haunted by the U.S. Open. So he was in give zero mode. So, sorry, change it so that they don't get to choose their own rule interpretation. I mean, seriously, what do you want? This is the game that you created. Look, I like playing golf. I like going out there and shooting around. I'm not very good. If I break 95, I am thrilled. I'm like, that was a good day. Can we crack another beer? But I also understand the limitations of this sport and golf people going crazy over golf rules. Man, you've got a sport where you can call in rules violations from the couch. So spare me the hand-wringing over rules. Oh, rules. Rules. Rules are the most important thing ever. Lefty was out of it anyway. He wasn't going to win. He finished 17 over. So what? If that was the difference between him winning or losing, and don't give me the, well, he could have come back on Sunday. Man, he was imploded. It was over. His tournament was done. If that was the difference between him winning and losing, okay, maybe we have a conversation. If the difference between him just having to throw himself at the altar of rules for you people, oh, but Lefty's supposed to be with integrity. That's what we're arguing about here? He's just supposed to admit that he made a mistake. That's what it was. Eh, not for me. When we come back here on the show, I have been uncomfortable, as you know, for a long time with the attention LeVar Ball has gotten. But it has now hit critical mass. And if you hear anybody laugh at LeVar with some type of silly TV game show or quote that he gives, some glib conversation that he has, stop and wonder if that's appropriate anymore because the comments that he made about his wife who just suffered a stroke are ridiculously offensive. I will get to that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Well, DA, you know I love your show, first of all. You couldn't hit the nail on the head more than you did. Just want to listen to you and listen to your opinions and listen to the rest of your show.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio on a fine Monday. Remember, if you're not listening to us on a local affiliate because your local affiliate doesn't carry us, or maybe you're on the road, you're on the go, you're traveling for the summer, whatever that is, that's okay. We're on Sirius XM as well at 206. Check us out, channel 206 on Sirius XM, or just stream us on your phone using the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, or radio.com app, as well as Apple Music. Let me give you the background on my take on LaVar Ball. I understand the uncomfortable relationship many of the media had with LaVar Ball. I say it's uncomfortable because it was a deal with the devil. You knew when he first popped on the scene and was willing to do any and all interviews, that if you got him on your television station or you got him on your radio station, he was going to say something crazy and people would then pay attention. It's hard in today's sports media landscape in general, to get noticed because there are so many options. There's so much noise. So media use LaVar Ball. In many ways, you see this happening with our politicians as well. If they're willing to say something crazy, even if it's irresponsible or offensive, the media will stick a microphone there or use that quote to get clicks, to get watches, to get attention. And this is what happened to the sports media with LaVar Ball. He was willing to say crazy things, and so people kept putting microphones in his face. At this point in time, when this was happening, Mraz and I had conversations about whether or not we wanted LaVar Ball on the show, and I said, absolutely not. No, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play the game because he's going to come on the show, he's going to say something offensive, I'm going to criticize him for it, but we get the attention. I'm not playing that fraudulent game of, I know this is kind of a game, and I'm going to criticize you, I'm going to be offended, but we're going to do it for our own benefit. No, I'm not playing that. I'm not going to do that to you guys, and I'm not going to partake in that ecosystem. But we had producers here on this network that felt like it was worthy of that. That LaVar was funny, he was charming, he was outrageous, he would say something, and he's not that bad a guy. Fine, believe what you want, but I always was on the other side of that camp. I understood what the bit was, and I didn't want to play the bit. And I'm not using this as some type of morality play that I'm better than anybody else. I'm just saying I was not going to use this show to get in bed with that. So he then becomes more obnoxious and more outspoken and then takes his kids to Lithuania, one of which is in high school. So he's now kind of robbed his youngest son of his high school years and put Alonzo in many weird positions. But largely, again, people kind of, ha-ha, LaVar's funny. He says offensive things sometimes, but whatever. And this is also largely because this is a media run by men. And men look at LaVar Ball and go, well, he's kind of like a crazy opinionated guy, you know? And so what? Man, LaVar Ball was a woman. All these dudes in this sphere, you think they'd be totally cool with a highly obnoxious, highly opinionated woman that dragged her sons to Lithuania? Oh, no way. Okay, but then there starts getting some blowback on LaVar Ball about his parenting, about being overly obnoxious, and now the pendulum starts swinging back, and people go, well, maybe he's not so funny, maybe he's not so cool, now I'm sick of him. And that became part of the media narrative. Oh, well, now we're sick of LaVar. After everybody had gorged on LaVar Ball. So then he kind of went away. He did the Lithuania thing, was a little quiet. Now he comes back, and now he's on LL Cool J's lip sync battle. Right? Now he starts doing kind of these little media things, and LaVar's strutting on stage. Wasn't he doing like a Family Feud or something? Now he's doing those types of things, and people are back laughing at him. Oh, man, look, LeVar Ball is doing the MC Hammer dance. This is funny. And then late last week, the Washington Post did a long profile on LeVar Ball and the relationship he has with his wife, the mother of the Ball kids, who suffered a stroke in early 2017, so a little over a year ago, it was February 17. And what she is dealing with. She cannot speak very well. One of the only words she can use comfortably is okay. She's a righty, but can't write with her right hand anymore. And so she is battling big time for more than a year of recovering from a stroke. And LeVar Ball's commentary in this is so remarkably distasteful and crass. I can't believe it's not a bigger story. But people like to laugh at LeVar Ball when he does lip sync and MC Hammer dances. He said, quote, after kind of ragging on her for not recovering quicker, that, quote, probably why she had the stroke, so she could be quiet for a minute, because she used to talk too much, was his joke. According to this piece, he made her get out of the wheelchair and get rid of the wheelchair so that it didn't leave marks around the house. When they'd go to lunch, he'd tell her that she's moving, quote, slow like an old-ass lady, and put your damn foot forward and walk, as they were crossing the street. He would say, and he said this to Kent Babb, the reporter on the story. He said, you keep moving slow, I'll be inside with the AC blowing. Man, I'm not waiting all day for you to cross that street. You better get moving. Now, in LeVar's mind, he has a relationship with his wife. Kind of the way he pokes and prods his sons. This is, I guess, how he's going to motivate his wife to recover from a stroke. Who knows how she feels, because she's sure her motor skills aren't there anymore. So we can't really know. And she's still with him. They're not divorced. But does this seem like the type of guy you'd want to laugh at? Does this seem like the type of guy you'd feel good watching dancing like MC Hammer? Does this feel like the guy that you should be going, yeah, that's, I like LeVar, man. He just mixes it up. He's just a funny dude. And I can't wait until the day everybody that has laughed at him and used him for his quotes finally realizes that it was all a huge miscalculated mistake, because he's gross. He's boorish. He's obnoxious. He's crass. He's insensitive. He's disrespectful. He's all these things. And you know what? You can be all of those things to the media, all of those things to other players, all of those things to general managers or owners of teams or whatever. But man, you're doing it to your family too. Your wife who's recovering from a stroke. You're going to do all of that also to what? Get a laugh? Or to just show that you're the tough guy, or you're the man of the house, or you can even motivate her? No thanks. It's about time that we stop laughing at LeVar. And it's about time somebody goes, no. No microphones, no profiles, no attention. And I know what you're saying, DA, you're part of the problem here. But I think that this story is so under the radar. I mean, he's telling his wife, who is openly to the Washington Post, I'm telling my wife who's recovering from a stroke, move up, hurry your ass up, stop walking like an old lady. I'm going to be inside sitting in the AC. Get the wheelchair out of here. It's making scuffs on the rug. No, not for me. Not for me. And it's about time that people said no. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. You can always hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, Lefty could have stripped down naked, run down the fairway, flag pin in the wind, slap Sister Jean, and people wouldn't be as outraged as they were about him hitting a moving ball. Everybody calm down. He hit a ball. Rules. Golf rules. Golf rules are a big thing. Can't mess with the golf rules. By the way, doing more brought to you by the Home Depot. Next generation of home improvement. Everything that you need to do project smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. Evan Gattis, the Astros DH, 3-for-4. Go-ahead RBI on Sunday to help lead the Astros to their 11th straight win. They beat the Royals 7-4, and Houston finishes up its road trip 10-0. Gattis, 366 with 5 home runs and 19 RBIs on the Astros road trip. How about that road trip? 5 home runs, 19 RBIs, hitting 366, and the Astros just a game back of the Yankees and Red Sox for the best record in baseball. Whereas you were telling me before the show that you had a couple of boys, your buddies, go out to Shinnecock for the U.S. Open over the weekend?
Yeah, they went Friday all day, did an all-day affair. Got up at 7 in the morning, took the Long Island Railroad out there, and didn't return back to the homeland until 7 p.m.
And they did it up in the beer tent.
Very much so. From what, well, my friend showed up borderline incoherent to a dinner for another friend's birthday.
Oh, nice.
Right off, he got off at a Long Island Railroad train early, had to Uber the rest of the way because he couldn't take standing in the aisle anymore.
Uh-huh.
And he said basically the moment the beer tents opened at 10, the entire golf tournament became a frat party.
Can I ask you this? When did high-level golf outings here in the States become frat parties? When did the bros overtake golf?
My guess, this weekend when they decided to take golf to Long Island?
No, but this has become kind of a thing. I know that the Scottsdale Open has been like a young person drinking event for a while, but now it feels like there's a whole bro culture around golf.
I think there's something to be said for the idea of, you know what, you could film everything, go on video, go viral doing something stupid, and a lot of that stuff happens outdoors. I mean, we've seen fights now at cornhole tournaments where if you get people out, and it's going to be a long day where they're going to be tired as it is, walking a golf course. It's nice out. There's beer to be had. They're just going to drink their face off until they can't walk anymore.
So bros found out that this was an excuse to be outside and drink beer.
Essentially, yes.
At a sporting event.
Bros love being outside and drinking beer.
That's right.
And you got to remember, you go to other sporting events, and let's say after the seventh inning at a baseball game, they stop serving beer. Well, you could go to a golf tournament for 12 hours and drink all 12 hours.
But do you think that's a calculated thing by bros that, hey, man, there's no beer cut off early like baseball games? Or is that just kind of what they're already in the middle of and they're taking advantage of it?
Well, I would bet you the first bros, if you will, that kind of ventured into this territory.
Okay, so the pilgrim bros.
The pilgrim bros went in there and started realizing, hey, I got started getting served at 10 a.m. It's 1 p.m. I could still get served. Oh, it's 4 p.m. I could still be served. And I think they went back and they told the other bros, then word of mouth spread.
I see.
And it became, hey, you want to drink for hours on end outside at a sporting event? A golf tournament's for you.
So it was a pleasant surprise from the bro pilgrims that they looked around and said, there is no seventh inning cutoff. There's no third quarter cutoff here.
I would agree. And I would also say you have to realize now the eligible drinkers in the bro culture now, they were kids during Happy Gilmore, so they couldn't.
Okay, so this is Happy Gilmore generation?
Well, I'm just saying the Happy Gilmore generation couldn't drink at the time Happy Gilmore came up, and now they're in that position where they have they're making their own money. They can afford the $10 beers at a golf tournament, and they could go drink all day. They get to now live Happy Gilmore all these years later. It's like a childhood dream, and this is what they're doing.
I mean, clearly Augusta still doesn't allow any bros onto the course because it's very, very selective.
But you move around the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup, the bros will follow.
The bros shall follow.
Yes. Yes.
You get. So I'm wondering when this all changed, because I can't imagine like Jack Nicklaus in the 70s or Arnie Palmer in the 60s was dealing with bro culture at these events. And now there's more and more golfers kind of getting all hot and bothered about people that are out of etiquette, right? They're screaming on backswings, or they're saying, get in the hole, or this type of stuff has become bigger and bigger recently.
Which, by the way, is what we should be doing because, you know, you're an athlete and you should be able to deal with heckling.
So you're pro golf bro.
the more golf bros go there and we start getting loud crowd, like they should be singing Seven Nations Army while people are putting. Then I'm in. I'm all in. I'll join the bro culture and go too.
So you want hooliganism at the US
yeah,
Open?
Yeah, I want eight beers deep. Oh. That's the way it should be.
That's your idea of the perfect golf outing. When we come back here on the show, Tom Brady did a long interview with Oprah and touched on a couple of interesting things like what's his future, how long will he play in his relationship with Bill. We'll get to that audio coming up here next, and I'll talk about it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is stupid.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.